Chronicles Bible Project. If you haven't seen it yet, we did that 2 weeks ago as we started off with Chronicles. Who wrote the book? I'm just going to ask you guys some refresher questions and then just try to move on as quickly as I can. Who wrote the book? Do we think we know? We don't think we know. Most scholars just call him what? The chronicler, okay? So we have chronicles written by the chronicler. We're not truly sure who wrote it or is identified. Now, my other thing then is, where are we? What was something you realized that is unique about the book of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, which like Samuel and Kings were originally written as one work, right? So just side fact, I think I mentioned that before. Samuel, Kings were originally just one, one part of like one work, and it was only divided in the Septuagint, I believe. Like that's the Greek version. But anyways, what is something that you learned about the order or the placement of where Chronicles is in the Jewish Bible, the Torah? Do you guys remember? Okay, it was at the end, okay? It was at the end of the Jewish order of the Bible. And in our Bible, where is Chronicles located? After 1st and 2nd Kings. So that's just kind of all these, what we call the historical books, kind of all put together, okay? Let me see, okay. So with that said, what I'd like to do is, because we have some like new people in the class, I'd like to go back to this Old Testament survey, like a quick refresh that I've done before without you guys looking at it. But there are basically five types of literature in the Old Testament. Can you guys see? Yeah. I'm going to block it. Okay. So there are five types of literature. It's okay. You could really cheat if you need to on my shirt and tie. But it's okay. There you go. Serena's like a guai student. Okay. So see if you remember the five. And if you're new to the class, you may want to jot this down or snap a picture when it's up there. What are the five basic types of literature that we find in the Old Testament? Okay, give me one, please.
The Pentateuch.
The Pentateuch. The Pentateuch. Penta is five. So that's the five what? Five books, the five scrolls, right? Okay, that's the first five books of the Bible. What's another type of literature? Historical books, okay? That's what I was just mentioning, okay? So the historical books are like Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, okay? All right, those are historical books. And?
Prophets.
Oh, yes, the prophets are a type of literature there, yes. And what else? Come on.
Poetic.
Poetry and what? Poetry and what? We call that poetry and wisdom books. Very good. Right? So poetry and wisdom books. And what else? Did I give you anything else?
No.
Oh, that's it. That's four, right? There's four basic types. There's other types, right? Okay, so we covered all four, right? So we got Pentateuch. We got historical. We got our prophets. And we have our wisdom books, poetry and wisdom books. Okay, so if you want to take a picture of this, this is just kind of a rough outline of our, thing. Now, how many of you remember the history, because historical books tell us history, okay? So how many of you remember what this part is, right? Okay, just give me the paper, I'll hold this. So how many of you guys remember the different kingdom periods? It's okay, it's all right. I like everybody to kind of like get a hint. Okay? So how many of you remember the different historical periods of the people of God? Okay, go ahead, conquest, okay? There's a conquest in the Judges period, and then?
United.
The United Kingdom, okay? What kicked off the United Kingdom then? Okay, it was after Judges, and the people of Israel demanded for a king. And so you have the first king of Israel, which is then the kingdom period, right? And then there is a divided kingdom period. What does that mean?
North and south.
That there is north and south, which north, the northern kingdom we call Israel, southern kingdom we call
Judah.
Wow. One special tribe, Judah. Interesting. Okay? Because in the Chronicles, the focus is on the southern kingdom, Judah. Okay. All right. And then, but beginning with the United Kingdom, because if you've been doing devotions in Chronicles already, you already saw Saul and David. And this last week, we were reading about the ark being brought back, right? All that stuff. Pretty cool. And then there's a solitary kingdom. And that is when what? Do you guys remember the solitary kingdom? Okay, that's when Israel was what? Taken into captivity. We call that the first exile to that, and they were taken by the what? Assyrians, right? A first before B, right? So Assyrians before later on the southern kingdom, Judah, was taken into captivity, or we say exile, right? By who? Babylonians. Right? Okay, so there you go. Now, our books are written about this time. So 1 Samuel is written about this time during the United Kingdom. Okay? And then 1 Kings and 1 and 2 Kings was written right after the exile. Okay? Right? That's 1 and 2 Kings. So there's gonna put a lot more like things and kind of like the rated R version, right, of 1 and 2 Kings, or the unfiltered look that we saw the sins of David and, you know, all that in these books. It's right after they were exiled, right after they're taken away, okay? And then 1 and 2 Chronicles is what we call, I want you guys to say this word and learn this word, post exile, okay, or post-exilic. Let's say that together. Post-exilic, okay? I know for some of you, you're like, yeah, it's so easy, but like, there's some of us in this class that we just have to start to know a little bit of this terminology. It helps us to know, okay, there was a time when they were taken away, and it looks like this. Okay, here's north and south, and then here's like north was taken away into Assyria by Assyrians. And then the Babylonians over here took, you know, Judah, the southern kingdom, into exile, okay? And so after this, who started to rise up in power? After it was the Assyrians, then it was the Babylonians. After that, who was it?
Persians.
Good, you guys are right on. Good, I'm glad that you're sticking with you guys. So as the Persians came to power, actually the Babylonians like let the Israelites start to come back, where they started like the you know, diaspora, right? So like they started spread out, some stayed, and people stayed along the journey, and then, you know, the vast majority went back to Judah. Okay? After the exile, that's when our book now takes place, Chronicles. Make sense? Does that help a little bit? Okay? Yes.
What's the difference between post-exile and then you said after exile for like...
Okay, right. Okay, so so it sounds the same, right? Okay, so I did this real quick, and I just used my words. There might be easy, like other words that help us, but right after they were exiled, okay? So it's like we were just taken into captivity, and now people start to write 1 and 2 Kings.
It's like during the time of exile.
During the time of exile, uh-huh. Right? So like we were just taken away... we were just taken away, and then now people are writing like, we gotta track the history of Israel. And man, I gotta show you all the bad stuff that happened. And that might remind us how we got here. Look at all the sins of David and all that stuff. And man, I just wanna remind us like, man, yeah, God worked, but look at our disobedience through all this, right? But we said 2 weeks ago that Chronicles does not include a lot of the bad stuff that happened. Right? Remember that? Chronicles does not include a lot of the bad stuff that happened in 1st and 2nd Kings. Do you remember that? Because they were including and omitting different events recorded in the other histories so that the chronicler's document recorded those events significant to his purpose. Okay? You guys with me, right? So we're good. This is a little bit of review, but I'm seeing a lot of heads nodding and still catching this, right? So the chronicler leaves a lot of things out, a lot of the bad stuff that, like, the sins of David and Bathsheba, it was like just almost like omitted. It's like it never happened. It just went through real fast. But there's a purpose to this, and the reason why he was doing this is significant to the timing of when the chronicler wrote it. Okay, you guys with me? Right? So this is now after the exile, and I wrote this down somewhere. I wrote it down here. That there are, we'll come here later, but it's a rough time for Israel. It's post-exile from Babylon. They are spread out everywhere. Judah remained an insignificant and struggling backwater province throughout the Persian and Greek empires, and all the kings failed, and so the books of Chronicles are doing something. There's a purpose, right? Now you've seen Israel full failure, but the people might need to be reminded of hope. Okay? You guys with me?
Yes? I'm not sure if you explained the right after exile versus post-exile.
I just did.
But did that answer your question, Josh?
Yeah, sort of.
Right, so like, okay. Here's me, okay? I represent Israel, okay? And then, bad guys. Okay, Milton.
You're a bad guy.
Bad guys. Oh, take us into, they took us into captivity. We gotta go all the way to their land, far, 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 far away, okay? And then, we're in exile. We're going to write 1st and 2nd Kings, okay, or Samuel, right? And then that guy goes, you can go back now.
So it's post-exile.
Yeah. Post-exile. This is after.
Post-exile equals they can go back home.
Yeah, post-exile means they can go back home. Yeah. Sorry. So, yeah, because it's after is post, right? It's a bad way of like. Thank you. Does the picture help? Like, post-exile now. We're not in exile. Yeah, post-exile is not in exile. All right. Okay. So, I want us to just don't take my word for it. We're going to look at the word today. We're going to compare two chunks of scripture that are capturing the same event. And I want you to see if you can sense the difference. Okay, so open your Bibles, and what's really good is if you want to grab two Bibles side by side and work in a little group of two or three, open it up side by side, or put two phones next to each other, right? And so you guys could read it and see what's the difference between 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 17, and 1 Chronicles 17, 11 through 15, same event, okay? These are talking about, Nathan, the prophet Nathan, speaking to David. Nathan, right?
Yes.
Is it Nathan?
Yes.
Where? Yeah, okay. Whew. I was like, I'm struggling. So this is Nathan speaking to David. And I want you to see if there's a difference in these two events. Can you do that? Work in a group of like three or four, okay? Or in the back if you guys really want five, that's okay. But try to like see if, and like try to use a highlighter in your Bible, in your phone Bibles, because it's easy. You know, just highlight those words or verses that look different, all right? Or like a light pencil, do it on your you know, Bibles, okay? Does anybody want to try the two Bible side-by-side version? No? Great. Two Bibles side-by-side. I'm going to pause this. Can you help me pause that real quick?
Yeah.
Anybody want to try another two Bibles side-by-side?
You have to end it and then you have
to...
He'll edit him.
So just stop
pause.
It.
Pause. Pause.
I think there's a pause. You just kind of... If you delete it.
I'll just edit it in post-production.
That's actually the key, right? Don't trust me. Okay, so we lost like, we lost 15 minutes, like 10 minutes of recording. It's okay. So what I talked about in that last section was that if you look at the differences between 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 17, and 1 Chronicles 17, 11 through 15, you really see the two main differences are that the chronicler has reshifted the pronouns, where the possessive pronouns, where 2 Samuel, in that section, 7, 12 through 17, it actually still talked about some of the sins of Solomon, the sins of Saul. It wasn't included in the 1 Chronicles 17, 11 through 15 section. But what's even more pronounced in the difference between the chronicler version is that he changed the pronouns from David, the kingdom will come from your house and your throne. And as you see that in verse 14 of 1 Chronicles 17, he changed it to say, and the kingdom will come from my house and my kingdom. And so there's a new highlight for the chronicler to make with the people of Israel. Remember, this is the people that have come now out of exile. They are now coming back. And what's different now with their psyche? Their psyche is now a psyche, their mental state is now one of despair. There's nothing to look forward to. They're sad. They know that they've been punished because of their sins. Judah is a backwater province. They forgot the promises of God. And now the chronicler is highlighting that this Messiah hasn't even come yet. He's highlighting the focus on the hope in God's plan rather than focus on failure. Okay, so how was that? How did you guys share? I just like filled in all, like, sounds like probably really weird. I'm like talking to one person. It's like a personal lesson. Okay. You guys need a few more minutes? What did you feel? I don't need to hear your spiritual failures, okay? Like, I know as we talk about them, what do you feel as you think about your spiritual failures? Like, as you think about them even in the past, how does it go? I remember looking at some of my journals in the past, and they were filled with all of my failures. How does it feel to look back and look at all these failures?
Depressing.
It's depressing. Or Nancy said the psyche is like, I mean, it's one of despair. You're like, man, I'm still struggling with that? Like, that was a spiritual failure, like 20 years ago, or, you know, for some of you guys, like 2 years ago, but now it's still there. I'm still struggling with that. There is a sense of despair. How can a focus on hope in God's plan, right, help you in those areas? How does who God is and what His plan is for you and the way that God works, how does that help you then in those areas that you may still be struggling in? Or those failures that you have experienced, or the failures that you're experiencing today spiritually? How does God and His plan give you hope in those areas? What do you guys think? Do you need to discuss this or... yeah, okay. Let's do that. Let you guys talk to yourselves first. Okay, go ahead. How does, like, the hope of God, how does, like, not thinking about the spiritual failures, but But like directing our attention to God and His plan help you? How can that help you? Okay, talk about that in your group.
Like remembering your own spiritual Okay, so what do you guys think? What do you guys think here? How can this focus help you? Anybody? I think a lot of times what's happening, there's a great author who talks about this. He's since passed away just in the recent years. I've read a lot of his books. His name is Jerry Bridges. And he talks about, like, there's so much noise around us, and we have a habit of listening to what other people say, or what other people say about us. In fact, we listen to sometimes the wrong voice in our head that is saying things about us that we listen to.
And one of the most powerful things that Jerry Bridges reminded me of, you know, like a decade ago, is or decade plus ago, is in his book, Disciplines of Grace. He says, basically, you need to start to preach the gospel to yourself every day. Because the gospel of Christ is not just the most important message that non-believers need to hear, because that's what we think the gospel is, but the gospel basically is the most essential thing of this entire universe to allow us to remember who God is and who we are in Christ. And so he breaks down like Romans 3:19 and as kind of like a, you know, like 19 through 26, and that really is kind of, he breaks it down, and basically it's a reminder that there is a righteousness from God that is apart from the law. Okay, you're not sure what that means? Okay, I'll tell you what it means, okay? Okay? I'll tell you what it means, Cindy. Okay? You're not sure? Yeah, there is a righteousness that comes from doing the law. There is a righteousness that comes from ourselves. That's a man-made righteousness. And Romans 3:19 tells us that there is a righteousness from God that is apart from the law. And that righteousness, anyone can have. And that righteousness comes through to us through our faith by God's grace and our faith in Jesus Christ. We have that righteousness from God apart from the law. And that is our standing before God. That is the gospel. So when you're faced with a myriad of failures, when you're faced with all the things in your life where you're like, how come I'm not able to do this and I can't grow and I feel bad because God must look at me and go, you're just a mess. How long have you been a Christian? And sometimes us as pastors, we don't help because we just preach sometimes and make you feel worse. And you're just like, I'm still just, you know, this old Christian who's like struggling with the same things. And God, when you preach the gospel to yourself, God reminds us that through all your imperfections, through all your lack of growth, through all the areas where you continue to struggle, you have a righteousness that I have given you that is from God. And you are my beloved, and I am at work in you. And it is not about proving yourself to me. It's acknowledging that you are still messed up, but I am there to help you. I will help my righteousness be reflected more and more in your life, not only in your standing, but in your life. I will help you with that too. You guys with me? Okay. So I think there is a picture of the main theme that Bible Project, I said, gave us, which is very similar to what I have in my Old Testament survey book, is stories about the past that provide hope for the future. Stories of the past told in a way that gives us hope in the future. And I will tell you this, we do have to remember not just our failures, we need to remember all of God's faithfulness in our life. Okay? I've shared it before, when I first started my journaling, my journal was just filled with failures. It was just a depressing read. I don't even want to go back and look at that journal. It's a sad read of how I was struggling so much in my faith and growth. And one year, this person said to me, hey, I bought you a new journal. Okay? And I go, great, that's awesome. And, it's great. Okay, it's not awesome, but it is great. And then this person said, but this book is only for praises. Okay, this is a praise journal now. I want you to recount God's faithfulness that you see and God's activity in your life, like every day. I'm like, great. You know what? Changed my life completely. I found myself in my previous journaling often looking down. And when I started praising every day and just seeing God's work throughout the day, and I would jot that down, oh man, you talk about, you know, Pastor James said that I'm an overly positive person. Wow, man, I was like through the roof because I could just see, I was learning to see God's graces in my life every day, every day. I just got in a habit of like, and once you start to be able to see God's grace in your life, you start to see more of it and more of it and more of it. And boy, I'm bouncing off the walls all the time. I'm just kidding. I was just always in this praise mode of like, man, I'm seeing what God's doing that I wouldn't have noticed before. I see His grace in my life that otherwise I thought that was me doing that, or it was just a fortuitous event, you know? No, actually God was working through all of this. And He's given me grace to go through this and that, and I was seeing that. I want to encourage you guys. Remember the stories of God's faithfulness. Remember the stories of God's faithfulness in your past so you can continue to increase in your trust in Him for today and tomorrow. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You again for today. We just appreciate still this 30,000 foot level of Chronicles, and there's so many things, even in the themes, that are allowing us to trigger the right response and perhaps even begin to change the process of our thinking, renewing our mind. Lord, we want to thank You for helping us to see what the chronicler was doing for the people of God, and that what he was intentionally doing may serve as reminders for us in our everyday life. Father, we thank You for Your grace not only that has saved us and given us the right standing before You, but Your daily grace that is at work in making us more and more like Christ. And Father, we pray that through all of our struggles, we would see You in that and be able to rejoice in that. Father, we thank You. We put today into Your hands and ask that You allow us to be together as one spiritual family and one body worshiping You and growing together. Father, we thank You, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.